Jersey My Jersey is a movement. It's structured as a not-for-profit entity. The founders of Jersey My Jersey came together about 2.5 years ago. That was our team at IQ Business alongside Anglo-American and Nando's. So the three founding directors, myself, Robbie Brosen, the founder of Nando's, and Anton Ace, who is the head of corporate services for Anglo-American. And Bia Swanepoel is our CEO, and Bia has also come out of the Anglo's environment.
I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Learn more about MTN Business at their website, mtnbusiness.co.za, and we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. Now, my guest today describes himself as an activist CEO. Mm-hmm. Among other roles, he's a member of the board of advisors at the Wits Business School. He's also a director of Jersey My Jersey, an initiative aimed at improving the city of Johannesburg. In my word, it certainly needs a lot of work at the moment. Mm-hmm. He started his career at British Gas and has worked for the likes of Accenture Merchants, where I think I met him first, Dimension Data, and Supergroup. And he is currently CEO of IQ Business, a management and technology consulting firm that now forms part of the JSE-listed Roynet stable. His name is Adam Kraker, and he joins me now. Adam, it's good to see you. Welcome.
Great to see you too, Duncan. Thanks. Wonderful to be here.
Thanks for making the time. Happy New Year, and may it be a good one.
I hope so too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I have a feeling.
Well, I hope so. I heard Bruce Switchfield the other day talking about the fact that is this 2020 thrive or 2020 dive? We'd like the former, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. So, Adam, I know that you run an IT consulting, IT services business, but you also have a lot of interest in what's happening in South Africa and from a political perspective, from an economic perspective. We're 6 months past a very important election, 6 months into a government of national unity. I have to start with this question. What's your take so far, and what do you think is going to happen this year?
Duncan, I think it's far more positive than this time last year. Mm-hmm. I think 2024 was a very, very challenging year in so many different ways. And certainly at this point, the sentiment that we have seen building since the election and the formation of the GNU and the intent in the market seems mm-hmm. to be much more positive. It's not fed through yet. We're not in a buoyant economy by any means, but the trajectory is positive. So I think the outlook at this stage is far better than we've experienced for a long time. Mm-hmm. Next week's big happening in the US could change that. We'll see. We have no control over the direction that's taken there. But I think locally things are looking up.
Right. So there's a lot of positive sentiment in the market, but I think what many people are probably looking for is some tangible developments, an uptick in economic growth, perhaps some big announcements about investment in infrastructure, et cetera. For you, what are you looking for? What are the key indicators that will tell you that, hey, South Africa's actually turned the corner, is actually heading in the right direction now?
Well, very specifically for us in our business, we have been waiting to see a return of clients to an investment cycle, investing again in really driving their digital strategy, developing their business, opening new products and services or new types of business activity. There are many plans underway. The pipeline looks strong. And we've now completed our first quarter of the financial year. And certainly we can see the right trajectory for us, and the indicators and the demand line mm-hmm. seems to be heading in the right direction. I think government have so much to influence. And the most important thing is that although they don't control the market, they certainly have a big impact in terms of the policy decisions and the direction that they set. And so far, so good, I think. But, you know, I know there's lots of questions about whether the GNU will stay together and move forward productively. I've been in South Africa for 28 years, about to celebrate my 28th anniversary, and I came here for two.
Still haven't picked up the accent, though.
I'm working on it, And I still haven't picked up South African citizenship yet. I'm working on that as well.
Good grief.
Took 7 years to get my permanent residency here, and then I'm 3 years into my application for citizenship, which is very challenging. But it's really a case, I think, at this point, as I look back over the last 15 years, back, say, to the Soccer World Cup in 2010, the opportunity, I think, that we now have is really teed up very, very positively. And we're very keen to take advantage of that at this point.
Okay, so things are looking up. There was an interesting piece on The Wires this morning that the government is now mulling the idea of listing some of South Africa's state-owned enterprises on the JSE. Is that a good idea, do you think? I mean, looking back at maybe the Telkom example, which was partially privatized and listed, it went through some wobbles, but in the longer term, it seems to have been the right move for Telkom. Do you think that listing other state-owned enterprises and perhaps bringing in some private shareholding is the right thing to do?
Well, I think the context or the background to what we've seen happen with the GNU, which essentially is a coalition or a partnership between different stakeholders and different interests, or the role of business in society or in supporting various initiatives in partnership with government. Over the last couple of years, the principal focus on energy, on the crime situation, and on our logistics challenges in and out of the country, I think have really made good progress. And I think that is encouraging a much broader set of conversations that are beginning to take place. And I know the privatization words in some quarters is an absolute diabolical thought. But it is, I think at the same time, there's a realization that there are new partnership opportunities and that business and government and civil society need to come together in a way like we never have done before. And you're right that there are various examples of success and failure and learnings that can be drawn on. And I think it's very, very important that we do find ways to engage together on those kinds of opportunities.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about IQ Business now. It was founded about 25 years ago. I actually remember when the company was started, there was a chap called Rutz.
That's right.
Was Johann, it Fred Rutz?
Yeah.
Johann Rutz, who started it. What's happened with Johann? Is he still around?
He's still around, but he's in Washington in the US.
Okay.
When Johann left us, he went off to Standard Bank, and he was chief operating officer of Standard Bank in Latin America. Okay. I've never met Johann in person. I once went to Standard Bank to meet Peter Wharton Hood when he was there. And when I went up in the lift, Peter was waiting for me in the lift. He said, "You won't believe it. You've just missed Johann Rutz. He was here." And so that's the closest that I've got. But I have spoken to Johann, and we've had various video calls and things.
Okay.
Johann came out of Arthur Andersen. At the time, I'm sure you'll recall, 1998 was the year that IQ Business was formed. And at that time, Andersen Consulting and Arthur Andersen were actually beginning to compete with each other in the consulting space. And Johann decided with a group of others, four in total, to go off and form IQ Business. It was very well funded and backed by a number of institutional investors, including Nedbank at the time, who became a dominant shareholder. With the year 2000 and the changes that were happening, there was a rapid boom and then bust cycle post the internet bubble bursting. Mm. And IQ Business went through that kind of meteoric climb and fall. And along with many other organizations that were formed in the same era, it probably should have gone out of business. But because of the institutional investors, it survived. And we've really gone from strength to strength. I joined in 2009.
From Dimension Data?
I'd left iData and went to Supergroup. I was chief operating officer at Supergroup. Mm-hmm. And we'd put Dimension Data through a very successful turnaround. At iData, I was the group executive for sales and marketing globally. And for 6 years, I traveled the world 200 days a year. Mm. To 38 different countries.
Was that when Britt Dawson was CEO?
That's right. Mm. So started off with Jeremy Ord as chief executive and chairman, and then Brett transitioned into chief executive, and I reported to Brett. And that turnaround really inspired me. I was still in my 30s, and I thought I would go off and embrace another turnaround. I went to Supergroup. That turnaround became a rescue. Very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And we put the business through a complete recapitalization. And just after a year, I was offered the opportunity to go to IQ Business. And a year after that, I was appointed chief executive at IQ Business. So I've now had 15 years at IQ Business.
Okay. And when did the Roynat deal happen?
July 2023.
It's recent. Okay.
So recent change. We went through, IQ Business has actually pretty much been in private equity hands for its entire life, okay. In some shape or form. 25 years in private equity, I think we deserve the Long Service Award to private equity. And we concluded at the end of the last round that we needed to move in a slightly different direction. And we started assessing institutional investor opportunities. And Roynat was an unexpected suitor, mm-hmm. And it was actually Rob Godlinton, the CEO at PlusOneX.
Yes, XCOH.
XCOH, yeah. And in fact, Rob and I have known each other for 21 years. We worked together at iData.
So, oh, right, okay.
Rob,
I didn't know Rob used to work at iData.
Four years he was there, and I appointed Rob as the Global Sales Operations Director. And the two of us just spent all of our time on planes.
Right.
We had 1,800 salespeople in five continents, and we spent our time trying to orchestrate things there. Rob introduced me to Alan Dixon, the CEO at Roynat, and one thing led to another. It was a long process, mm-hmm. but Roynat's investment into us was concluded in July 2023.
They did a full due diligence thing.
Oh, extensive. We were discussing the other day, in the past 3 years, we've had every one of the four big four audit firms in some shape or form climbing all over our business, whether they were auditors, whether they were the due diligence leads. Yes, it's quite a process.
Does that translate into a very tight ship then?
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I think there's a track record, particularly in the technology services industry, that there are some not so tight ships. And our chairperson at IQ Business was Cheryl Carolus.
Oh, yes.
Cheryl is an ANC stalwart, but she's a very disciplined mm-hmm. leader. And we together really wanted to make sure that we learned the lessons that have been experienced in other enterprises, local and international, mm-hmm. that have been embroiled in state capture. In fact, in 2010, we took the decision to exit the the public sector entirely.
Wow.
We, and Cheryl at the time, 2009, 2010, was chairperson of SAA.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a decision to exit that role. And we sat down together and said, we can see how this is all evolving.
Mm.
Best for us not to participate at all. So we shut it down and focused on the private sector, which was, in hindsight, was a very tough decision to take,
mm-hmm.
But was the right decision.
Yeah. Could have been an EOH.
Mm. Mm. Very much. Mm. Very much.
Mm. So how big is the team now? You've merged.
Mm.
Well, let's talk about the merger. You, so Rob started, co-founded Plus One X.
That's right.
And has built that up inside the Roynet business. Mm. Then IQ Business was acquired, and now there's been a merger of the two entities. Mm. How did that come about, and why did you do it?
So Roynet's context first is that, I mean, they've been around for 137 years.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest companies in South Africa.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were listed on the JSC 77 years ago. They were the ninth listed entity on the JSC, which it's hard to comprehend.
77 years.
Yeah, I mean, an amazing, amazing thing. They have three divisions, the electrical engineering, applied electronics, yes, and the ICT division. And we joined the ICT division, which I have to say we don't, particularly as IQ Business, big I, big Q, when we were more in the management and technology consulting space. So we don't consider ourselves to be an ICT player, but we sit alongside in that space from July of 23, alongside Plus One X, alongside Nashua, ECN and Skywire in the telecommunications space, and an asset-based finance business called Quince.
Mm.
And collectively, that segment is about a 5 billion rand business. And Roynet really brought us in to be part of the establishment and the growth of that segment. Mm-hmm. Roynet's history is, of course, in electrical engineering, and then more recently in the applied electronics environment. So from the outset, the conversations with Alan about the investment they wanted to make in us was really about, well, what can we do together, collectively? And there's really an opportunity to develop a homegrown business and technology services offering. And we've very much had the view over the years that why is it in the South African marketplace that our clients are so dependent on international firms for their business and technology services? Why have we grown such successful enterprises on a global basis, whether that's South African breweries, Discovery, Dimension Data, many, many examples? Why haven't we grown a successful business and technology services capability? We believe that that's our opportunity to do that. And interestingly, having Roynet as an investor, their balance sheet, their corporate overview, their business experience, their network, really is an amazing boost.
Mm.
To help us really to constitute and create a scalable platform for our offerings in the marketplace. So coming together with Plus One X was a very important part of that. And we announced the merger on the 1st of October last year, and the paperwork was all signed on the 20th of December. So there was a little bit of extra work to do. So we're now into post-merger integration and really focusing on our clients.
Mm-hmm. How big is the merged organization?
We're 1,500 team members.
Wow.
The epicenter is really Johannesburg and Cape Town. Mm-hmm. But we do have a presence in other cities around the country. We serve clients across sub-Saharan Africa, Australia. We have projects completed in the UK, in Singapore, in Hong Kong. It's a substantial team. But, you know, let's be realistic that we're competing with organizations that are 650,000, 740,000 in the form of a Accenture or a Tata,
mm-hmm,
consulting. So, but that's the opportunity that we have, mm-hmm, to scale and grow.
And these the 1,500 people on the team, the client, certainly the client-facing members of that team, what sort of work do they do? Are they on-site at clients, working on projects? How do you engage with clients? What's your sort of go-to-market strategy?
So we've always been a hybrid business. So when COVID came along, that was not something new to us in terms of operating or providing service to our clients. Some of our clients want us on their premises. Some of them want us to deliver from ours. Or they actually don't care where we are, just make sure that we deliver the service proposition. We have a broad base of skills across many different disciplines, and we tend to cluster in service lines that bring together software developers, business analysts, data and AI, team leaders, learning developers. We've got the country's largest consumer insights business, which surprises many of our clients when I say that, because they're used to, again, the international brands, Ipsos, Nielsen, yeah, etc. And when I say we're the largest South African consumer research and insights business, we've got a team of 120 that are dedicated to doing consumer research locally and internationally, primary and secondary research, and providing support to organizations like Nando's, Diageo, mm-hmm, FMB, MultiChoice. So that's a big a differentiator for us in many ways. So a broad base of skills divided into internally our service lines, but we have launched three brands as part of our merger.
Okay.
Positioning ourselves as IQ Business, with a refresh brand, Small I, Small Q Business, as a digital integrator. The digital integrator, we really think, is a market-making play for us, supported by our technology business, IQX. Mm-hmm.
And is that mainly the Plus One X?
Plus One X mainly went into IQX brand structure. And then our business innovation agency called Midnight. That's where we're really working with clients at the front end of their digital strategy. We called it Midnight because midnight is when today becomes tomorrow. And so we want to be right on that line, helping them make that that transition. So they're our brands, and that's our positioning in the market.
Okay. So IQ Business isn't the only hat that you wear. You've been involved in various initiatives over the years, including various nonprofits. I'd like to just chat a little bit about Josie My Josie. You're an executive director of that organization. What is Josie My Josie? And what's it doing to try and fix this mess that Joburg is in?
So it was triggered through a discussion that Robbie and I were having in our role as advisory board members at Fitz Business School. Mm-hmm. When Anglos made the decision that they wanted to move out of their Marshalltown precinct and move to Rosebank and London, they approached Fitz Business School to offer them the Marshalltown campus, mm-hmm, as a future campus for Wits. Robbie and I were tasked with evaluating that opportunity. And although an absolutely spectacular opportunity, the wrong side of the railway line for Wits University and Wits Business School, and an operating cost that really could not be absorbed into the Wits structure. And although we gave disappointing feedback to Wits on our recommendation, we then said, but we have to do something. And that became the seed for Josie My Josie. Robbie is a very, very passionate driver and leader. And he contacted a young creative, Malu Mashlangu, who had grown up in South Africa, born in Johannesburg, but he was living between Miami and New York. And Malu had led the creative design with a creative agency in the US for two Super Bowl ads in his time in the US, which itself is absolutely phenomenal. And he said to Malu, it's time for you to come back, mm-hmm, to your birthplace. We need you, and we need you to create something for us. And Milu applied his mind, and essentially, if you think now, 1977 is when the I Love New York campaign, the T-shirts with the I Heart NY on there, was launched. So it's nearly 50 years old now. And our challenge was to say, Josie is in such a poor state. Mm-hmm. It's going to take 30 to 50 years commitment to get it back from the brink of destruction. And that became the seed for Josie My Josie. We've been joined by the University of Johannesburg, by FNB, Standard Bank, Absa, Nedbank, the Maharishi Invincibility Institute, Dr. Teddy Bletcher, Investec, PG Glass, Microsoft, about 45 organizations that are now part of this transformation. We formed a partnership with the city of Johannesburg, with the city management, not the city mayor. And we've led a series of initiatives that are targeting reinvigorating the inner city, bringing business back into the city and driving growth for Josie.
Mm. And so what are some of the wins that you've had so far? What are some of the projects that you've been involved in?
In the first instance, our role as IQ Business is that we're the ecosystem orchestrator. So we've invested significantly in deploying an operational team to provide support to the Josie My Josie leadership. We've developed the website. We're building that out into a partner-based ecosystem model. It gives us an opportunity to lead by example and demonstrate what we do in our environment. We're a B corporation. I don't know if that's a familiar term to you. I can explain in a moment. Mm-hmm. We decided that we would focus on something really symbolic that people would see. And we decided the Nelson Mandela Bridge was the first point of contact to become a beacon of positivity for the city. We were partnered by Absa, PG Glass, and various other partners, and we've taken back control of Nelson Mandela Bridge. It's fully illuminated with solar lights. It's fully illuminated with LED lights for color change. There's security patrols on the bridge. The glass has been replaced by PG Glass. It was all shot out, and the bridge is back.
Shot out.
Totally smashed to pieces and gone. It was a travesty. We've then installed about 650 solar lights across the city, lighting the pathways through the city, improving safety and security. Maharishi moved into number 45 Main Street and have taken over a 40,000 square meter building. It's absolutely phenomenal. If you get a chance, I don't know if you've ever been,
I
absolutely recommend as an experience to go. Dr. Bletcher runs a monthly immersion to bring people that are interested to see what's happening there. It's off the charts what's happening there in the city. Wits University are moving into 47 Main Street to create the Crucible, which is the Wits Crucible, which is the Center for Entrepreneurship and New Ventures, so on and so forth. There are many initiatives across five pillars that are underway in the city.
Mm-hmm. And I presume you've had engagements with the city itself, the metro?
Oh, very much, yeah.
What's been the feedback? I mean, there's been so much criticism of this metro for many years now.
Yeah, rightly so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What have those engagements been like?
So the city, in my view, my personal view, is that it's just become a war zone. Mm-hmm. And any war zone that you look at becomes symbolized by infrastructure destruction and human life destruction. And the city of Johannesburg, although it's not fair to compare to some of the ongoing wars around the world, it does resemble that in so many ways. Mm. Our engagement with the city has been very good. We formed an MOU with the city. We approached them on the various projects and the funding options that we would bring in, and we were embraced in that process, even to the point where at the very beginning of any of the initiatives that we wanted to do, we had to apply for way leave, mm-hmm. To paint the Nelson Mandela Bridge or to repair the infrastructure. We now have a blanket way leave agreement with the city, and that blanket way leave provides us with the opportunity to give notice to the city mm-hmm. that we're coming to do this work. They have a period to respond to us. Mm-hmm. If they don't, we have the opportunity to do that. So that's been very good. We also, at a provincial level, are engaging with provincial government, in particular with COCTA, and they're working closely with us and supporting the Josie My Josie initiative. The Premier has included us in his State of the Province address as the plans as a partner organisation. And it looks like the Premier will be moving back into a location that comes out of the Josie My Josie infrastructure. And our headquarters, by the way, now are in the Rand Club in the centre of town.
Okay. So, yeah, I was there a couple of years ago for the first time, actually.
It's amazing.
It's a lovely place.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. It really is. It'd
be nice to see that restored to its former glory.
Very much.
At some point.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. And just lastly, you also work, as you mentioned, work closely with the Wits Business School.
Yes.
How did that relationship come about? And do you think South Africa is producing the future business leaders it needs, or do you think there needs to be change?
I think there needs to be change. I think it has to be constant, and I think that has to be given the pace of change that we're seeing which is largely technology driven. We talk about the fifth industrial revolution, which we think is in full swing at this point, where we're seeing technology and human connection really evolving from the focus of the fourth industrial revolution, which is extensively about technology and technology-led change. But there must be an embracing of significant change. Where my relationship with Wits Business School has come about, for 28 years being in South Africa, I've been actively recruiting from Wits, from Gibbs, from Stellenbosch, from UCT. I've visited them all. I've been actively involved with them. I'm still very actively involved in my alma mater at IMD in Lausanne, mm-hmm. in Switzerland. But when Prof. Maurice Radebe was appointed as the dean of Wits Business School, he was a past client of mine. He was senior vice president of energy at Sasol, and he went into retirement. And then I think 6 months later, his wife booted him out of the house and said, "This isn't going to work." And he arrived at Wits Business School, and we got together very quickly. And he said, "Can we work together in a different way?" And it has been the most amazing personal experience. And the progress, the change that he's led with the support of the academics and the operational team there at Wits Business School, which actually was looking in a very diabolical mess before he joined, really has been significant. So I'm loving being part of that advisory board and playing a part. And it's vitally important where the synergy is, and back to being a B corporation, is the role that we need to play, which is synergistic with, I do these things in part because it's good for business, mm-hmm. and it's actually driving a better quality recruit into our organization.
Okay. But do you think business schools in South Africa are producing the right talent for the future? I mean, given things that are going on in the world's moving at a very rapid pace, the rise of artificial intelligence and the changes that could bring to the business environment, are we producing the right talent to grow South Africa's economy?
I think that what I've noticed in South Africa over the years, firstly, is that we think that the rest of the world is so far ahead of us. Mm-hmm. They're not. Mm-hmm. We're very humble. There's a great deal of humility here, and we should be actually far more confident that the short answer to your question is yes, we are producing them. And Wits University in particular, you look at the alumni, the individuals that are captains of industry in South Africa or are leading organizations around the world, there is something really phenomenal that's happening, and there's a level of resilience, capability. It's a tough place to live. We create very special people. And I've said goodbye to many South African colleagues who've emigrated to London, to Melbourne, to New York. I don't know anyone that I've said goodbye to that's unemployed anywhere around the world. When a South African turns up in those cities, if they've got the skills and the experience, they're snapped up because there's a capability that is very special. And the fact that our richest man in the world happens to have emanated from here, or the fact that we see some of the leadership potential or leadership talent in roles around the world, I think, you know, it's a long answer to your question, but it's definitely a yes, but it has to continually evolve and progress.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good note to leave it on. Adam Kraker is CEO of IQ Business, only one of his many hats. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central's audience today. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thanks, Adam.